Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, this is Tom from Shady Cove, Oregon.
Hi, this is Cheryl from Shady Cove, Oregon.
We'd like to ask you to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and join us. We are in John chapter 15. The last thing that was read, maybe you heard it just a few minutes ago. If you're going to the podcast, maybe you're listening on the radio and this is the next day or the next week, and you heard the last podcast where Jesus said that he calls us friends. This is the first time in those stair steps that Jesus calls his disciples friends. And there's a scripture that is very dear to me, that a person who is like in Jesus' place, like a person who has slaves, has servants, let's say has servants. And it says in the Bible, if you treat your servant well,
you'll become your son in the end.
In the end, you'll have a son. Now that, when I read that, that always gets to me, because he's talking to us and he calls us his sons, sons of God. And so that's how he treats us. It doesn't mean other people are going to treat us well.
Right.
There'll be jealous. You ever heard of jealousy? Jealousy brings out the most ugly things in people. It defiles people. It makes them murder, makes them say awful things. And yet God has a different whole. He's different. He's perfect. And he treats his servants well. He babies us in a sense. When we're babies, he treats us like a baby. When we're an infant, he treats us like an infant. When we're a young child, he treats us like a young child. We don't ever know harshness from God. It's an outside. If you've ever had any harshness in your life, that's an outside thing that happens.
It's like when you fall, he picks us up.
Yeah.
It's safety.
Well, he carries us in all the way we're going. He won't allow us to dash our foot against a stone. And maybe we'll fall enough to learn our lesson, but not to be permanently hurt, permanently disfigured. And that's other people's jobs. That's Satan's job and jobs of people in the world. But that really got to me, that he now calls us his friends in John 15, 14. You're my friends if you do what I command you. God is an if-then God. If you ever keep going through the scriptures, there's ifs, but then there's then God will do this. God began our salvation, so then he requires us. So if we do the next thing, he will do the next part. He's an if-then God. And our part is the doing. God will do. He automatically would do it. But we just always have to do that next step in our growth. So we keep going up those stairs from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're in John. We're going to go on to Acts, when you can actually see people practicing and acting exactly like Jesus. If God didn't put Peter or John or somebody's name in there, you would swear that that's Jesus doing that.
Yeah.
Don't you? When you really look at it.
You do, yeah.
Or Barnabas or Paul, who's used to be Saul, used to be a bad guy, and then he turned into a good guy. We are now in John 15, 17 through however far we get, I guess. We're going to finish up John chapter 15. But before we do that, I'd like to have Tom and Cheryl, they're going to sing John chapter 1. What verses, Cheryl?
John 1, 1 through 14.
Thank you.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word. There came a man sent by God. That man, his name was John. The same came for a witness, that he might witness of the light. He was not the light, but a witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That he might witness of the light. Jesus was the light that came into the world, the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. The true light which gives light to every man. Coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. He came to his own, and they did not know him. But as many who have received him, gave them the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, are of flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of God, were born of God. Jesus was the light that came into the world, the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. The true light which gives light to every man. Coming into the world. In the beginning was the Word.
We are now in John 15, 17 to 27, the last of John 15. You going to read that, Andy, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
These things I command you, that you may love one another. If the world hated you, you know that it has hated me before you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a bondman is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this has come to pass, that the word be fulfilled, written in their law. They hated me without cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes forth from the Father, he shall witness of me, and witness you also, because you are with me from the beginning.
There's a lot in John 15, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
I agree. There is a lot.
A lot of depth, isn't it? And it's called the Spirit of Truth. There are some churches that operate, they say, in the Spirit. It's a small S spirit. And it's runaway religion, and there's no truth involved because you don't hear them ever quoting a scripture to show the basis of what they do. They just ramble on, and there's no anchor, the logon, the logo, the image of Christ is nowhere to be found. Those foundations, like a house, has foundation stones that my dad, being a builder, he would say, son, look at the roof line of any house, and it'll tell you the condition of the foundation. If that roof line is straight as an arrow, there's no sag in it. If there's a sag, foundation problem. Any kind of deviation of that roof line, it's visible on what's above ground. And a person's walk is really an outward manifestation, an outward showing, if their feet are set on Jesus' path. If they're not on Jesus' path, and there could be bushes around or grass where you don't quite see the person's feet, so you don't know what's underneath him, but you'll see he'll be in the path. He will talk like the Lord, and he won't say thee and thou. That's Elizabethan English. But he will have love, he'll have joy, he'll have peace, he'll have long-suffering, he'll have kindness, he'll have gentleness, he'll have goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. He'll have those outward fruit, you know, like you see on an apple tree is apples, orange tree is oranges. The right fruit will be on that tree.
It makes what you were talking about as far as the path, and a path is something that's been tread down, right? It has a visible print on whatever, the grass, earth, you know, and you follow that path. If you get off and you're on, let's say, for example, grass, you're making an imprint that is your own.
You know, it's interesting. That's a great thing to go off on, to Cheryl. I like that, because one person's prints will always be there, and that's Jesus. And you will find those in the Bible. You'll find every one of his footsteps on that path, every one. And what do we have to do? Do we have to, you know, like you see him, it's almost like doing hopscotch or whatever they call that one thing where you would have to have your foot in each one of those blocks.
Right.
Wasn't that hopscotch?
Yeah, hopscotch.
Girls played that more than guys.
Yeah.
We'd only do that when we were showing off to the girls, I guess. But with us, we want to go right into that footprint that Jesus had his foot. And we want to walk all those. We can't skip one. I believe we have to walk them all. We have to imitate. Was Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
So how can a person go wrong by not following in Jesus' footsteps? It's safety. We're safe if we walk in his steps. But if we go off the beaten path,
you don't know where you're going.
There's perils, there's dangers. So why not take the safe route and follow Jesus in his footsteps?
And when you walk off the path, you have to come back to the very part of the path you were on if you want to go ahead. You can't skip ahead.
Right.
You have to go right back to where you went off and start back right there because you walked it that far.
Because the last step leads you to the next one. If you're off on one of them, you're off. You've got to find that path, that step where you left off.
And one thing I wanted to say, you were mentioning earlier that one of the things that you will notice that people say when they don't really have the spirit of truth, they will speak and they say, and they'll say this, if you listen to people talk, they'll say, I just know this in my spirit.
Or I know it in my heart.
Or I know it in my heart. They're talking about themselves.
And here's I.
And I.
Ego, the word.
So these things are very obvious if you listen for them. And then no talk at all about the Holy Spirit because people have to know the Holy Spirit before they can start talking about it.
What were you going to say, Cheryl?
Oh, I agree with you. It's we speak nothing of ourselves. We speak as Christ spoke. He spoke the word of God.
That's the ideal.
That's the ideal. That's,
not everybody does this.
No,
even in churches, not ministers. Not at all. That's our goal, right?
Yes, it's our goal.
Without a title, without worrying about all that, that's got to be our goal, to walk in his steps and speak his words. And that doesn't mean you don't have conversations with people, but when you're talking about the Lord, you want to do it his way.
And this, one of the first things it says, that I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, you have to really get your hands around that. You go, you mean people aren't going to like me because I've been chosen out of the world. I called you and he chose us. We didn't choose him.
And called us and made us friends. I'm going to digress. That really got to me today. And I've been reading the Bible 50-some years and reading that again back in John 15, that before that time, we were servants. We had to learn servitude. We were disciples. And he says, come after me. Don't get ahead of me. Come after me. And so they followed him. So both of those words happen. We come after Jesus because you won't see his footprint until he lays them down. And you can't jump into Mark because you haven't done all those footprints in Matthew. And this is something that Ivan Panin noticed is, the first step in our walk with God is shown in Matthew chapter 1, where we learn that Jesus is the King, and we are to come after him. We are to follow him, and it starts with repentance. Now, a funny thing it says about repentance in the Old Testament, it doesn't call it repent, metanoos, change your mind. It's a different word called shub, and it's return. Well, return to where? Well, Matthew says it all, and it says, change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And what direction is that from us? It's up. And then Christians, in their ignorance, say it's born again. The Greek does not say that. It's born up with
force.
That's Andy's. I let Andy say that one because he studied that out. Anathen, up with force.
With force.
Envision a rocket going to the moon. What's the first thing that has to happen? You break the gravitational force. What do those rockets look like on a moon launch when they first break ground? They lift off at Cape Canaveral. What does that look like?
Pretty intense, right?
Huge amount of power. And they jettison those not very far up off the ground. They jettison them. And then
a great power has to take us up
there. It takes way more power, but only God. It's not something people can mentally want to be born again. It has to be with power that lifts us up from this fall. Well, this back to the Hebrew word about repent, it's shub, and it means to return. Return where? Well, we fell. What does fall mean? You fell. Well, let's get up again. But this is with a power that man cannot attain on his own. We have to have outside help from the Lord. That's the kind of power that will lift us up, lift us off. So not only does he do that and then calls his disciples to return to him, but now we're finding out in John that now he's bringing us up into a place where he calls us his friends. And we can experience a love that's phileo love, where he treats us like friends, and then philestorgia, another Greek word for love, is family. Not only a friend, but a friend, a family friend. Not just family, now philestorgia, family and friend. You know, some of the your family members that you grow up with, actually you have lifetime friends with them, and some you really don't ever know. Some family members, you really just don't ever know them. You ever experienced that?
Sure.
Yes.
Did we finish John 15, all of it? Oh, he's going to send the Comforter. We want to finish all the elements that are in here. But when the Comforter has come, which is the Holy Spirit, called the Spirit of Truth, Jesus has to fulfill something that's going to happen soon in the book of John, and then he's going to be able to send us the Comforter, the parakletos, the one para beside kaleo. It's what this word is, parakletos. He is going to call us to God's side, the Comforter. And he's also called the Spirit of Truth, aletheia. We have a lot of so-called truths in the world today that are really not truths. There's little things that they'll say, well, this is truth, but they've bent things a little bit. Aletheia means there's no covering. It's not, there's no guile in it. They don't, it's not like the news we get. They all say this is true, but they've got a leaning. They've got each radio station or each newspaper, they have their idea.
Their own opinion.
Yeah, they're bending things.
Slant.
Yes. And the aletheia, the Spirit of Truth, it lays it bare what really is reality with God. So here, set your mind on the things above. God is just going to open the veil. And isn't that last, you know, to go before God, there's three rooms. The Old Testament always starts with the Ark of the Covenant. And that was that ark, that movie, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, that golden covered ark that held the Ten Commandments, and it held Aaron's rod that budded and the gold and the manna, and some of the manna that fell in the wilderness. And that is the holiest of holies, where God actually dwelt with man on the ark with the cherubim. But to even go there, first you come into the outer court, and there is a gate there, and it's a different door. They have a different Hebrew word for that door. And then you go in, and there's a altar of sacrifice, and then the laver, where they would wash and put on new garments, priestly garments. And then they could go in through this, the next, we'll call it a screen, like they do in the Bible. And then was a screen before you went into the holy place, and only the priest could go in there. And on the left-hand side, when you go in, is the altar of incense, the menorah. And then on the right is the table of showbread, where we would eat dinner with the Lord. So if we walk in the light, the menorah, as he is in the light, we have communion with one another. And then is the altar of incense before the veil, that third final door to enter into the Holy of Holies with the Lord. And this is what we are actually talking about. The Lord has opened up the whole thing. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil is torn top to bottom. And it's already showed that in Matthew and Mark. So this is a whole new thing. It's even getting closer. God has revealed himself from eternity. He starts this book in eternity, and the Word was there, the Logos was there, and he is in the beginning with God. It's God, the image. And he made all things. He's talking about the Creator. He's talking about Jesus. And he created all things, and he came to dwell with us, and now he is going to do something. He is going to comfort us and with the Spirit of truth, that things will not be hidden from us. We will see plainly.
Clearly. Often in things that I've seen, like you were talking about news, depending on what channel you go to, and they have their own form of what they call truth, because journalism, they think that they are coming at you like they are speaking truth, but they're not. And anytime there is confusion, there is not truth. So it's got to be clear, and you know for a fact that the judgment is truth.
It's really interesting to me that people are always interested when people talk to fact check them, and that when they read the Bible, they don't do any fact checking at all to see what God thinks.
Or they don't use that in the news at all. They have their own, but they don't
have to fact check themselves.
Well, do you go not to your all. Enemy to get your facts, or do you go to your allies?
Yes.
And they call that fact checking. In other words, anybody that agrees with me, oh yeah, he's telling the truth. And some of the most skewed things they say, it's just it's beyond ridiculousness.
Where
do you think we are on the truth scale compared to the 1950s in the world? Sometimes you almost have to go like to the BBC and you'll hear things.
That's true. They will give you a good they will give you a more observant outlook on what's happening in the United States than even the United States does.
Our friend David North was in San Diego, and he was relating to me an exact same story I was reading in Canada from a Toronto newspaper, and the San Diego paper left out a very amazing piece of truth that they should have said. It was missing in the San Diego paper, and it was right there in the Ontario, the Toronto paper. Looks like we're coming to an end here, and we're going to continue on in John 16. So we'll leave it. I'm not going to go into John 16. It's our time is running out. So we've enjoyed our time with you, and thank you again for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."